standing and turning your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, the fifth chapter. And once again, we'll be reading verses 1 to 9. Hear now the inspired word of God. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man who was there had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. Let's pray. Father, once again, as we look into your word, and especially on this topic of the Sabbath, we ask that you'd be pleased to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts on this important principle from your word, that Father, that we would truly come to understand what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this coming Saturday, the church picnic will be held at my house, and of course, everyone in the church has been invited to attend, and even if you're visiting with us, please feel free to come and enjoy the fellowship, and there'll be some good fun and some good food. It's my hope that everyone will be able to attend and have just a great time together in the Lord. We have a standard rule in my house, not just for the picnic, but whenever we have house guests, and that is that they should make themselves at home as much as possible. And we do all that we can to make our guests feel as welcome and at home as possible. Yet, with that being said, there are limits to what we would expect our guests to do. For example, on Saturday, I don't expect that some of the men who are coming would take out their hammers and saw and start removing walls. Maybe they don't like the design of the house, and so they want to move things around a little bit. I wouldn't expect them to dig up my lawn, well, whatever little there is, because they want to see a change and change my landscaping. Although maybe I could get a few to help me change my landscaping. That might not be a bad thing. On the other hand, we do find our guests, when they're in our house, especially if it's for more than a day, lending a hand to keep the place clean and to help serve and those type of things are expected. But I hope you get the point. When you're a guest in someone's house, no matter how comfortable you feel, there is an expected behavior because it's not your home and you don't have the right to do certain things to it. So you honor your host by adhering to a certain protocol. That brings us once again to our study in the Sabbath day. Because as unthinkable as it may be to be a guest in someone's home and decide to start making alterations to the decor, it appears that that's precisely what has been done to the Sabbath day over the years. Let me review a little to bring the context to our study. Remember, we're studying the Sabbath, and the reason we're studying the Sabbath at this point is to get a better understanding of the situation that Jesus finds himself in after he heals the man at the pool at Bethesda. John brings it to our mind in verse 9, right after he talks about the miracle. Now it was the Sabbath on that day. That means it's a very important point that he's trying to remember, wants us to remember. And so we are looking over the last several weeks and today at the true meaning and purpose of the Sabbath principle before we look at the abuse of it in first century Judea. In our first sermon on the Sabbath, we saw that the Sabbath command was established at creation by God and therefore is a binding commandment on all men of all times. It is not, as some would say, primarily an old covenant establishment or old covenant law. Then we saw last week that observance to the Sabbath day brings blessed benefits to the believer. And so we have two very strong reasons to observe the day. Today we come to the topic of how to observe the day. And I want to, very, very quickly after having said that, I want to dispel any notion that we are going to give you a list of do's and don'ts for observing the day. That's exactly what the Pharisees did in the Old Covenant. And as we will see next week, that led to a major abuse of the Sabbath principle. So I have no intention of saying this: you can do this, you can't do this on the Sabbath day. But if you desire to be obedient to the creation commandment of the Sabbath, and if you want all of those blessings that we talked about last week, that we read about in Isaiah 58, then it's important that we come up with a biblical explanation of how do we keep the day. And the first principle I think that is necessary is to remember that the Sabbath day is the Lord's day. Now, what do we mean by that? There are some who would try to tell you that there's a difference between the Lord's day in the New Covenant and the Sabbath day of the Old Covenant. And they would say that when the day changed from Saturday to Sunday, that it became the Lord's day as opposed to the Sabbath. And I just want to say that simply cannot be proven from a biblical perspective. The Sabbath day is the Lord's day. It was the Lord's day in the Old Covenant. It's still the Lord's day. And just look at some of the texts we've seen. Isaiah 58. If because of the Sabbath, this is verse 13, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on what? My holy day. Sabbath day is the Lord's day. And then call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord. So to say that the Sabbath was not considered the Lord's day in the Old Covenant, it simply doesn't pass muster. Mark chapter 2, verse 28, Jesus said this, consequently, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That means it's His day. Now, I want to pause and interject a point here. 2 months ago, when we were studying worship from John chapter 4, the woman at the well, we discussed why the Sabbath changed from the seventh day to the first day in the New Covenant. And several people have told me that this becomes an issue when the Sabbath observance is brought up. So I just thought I would review very, very quickly and for the sake of continuity. There are three basic reasons why we believe the day has changed. The first is simply this. The Old Testament anticipated the change. The festivals of Israel foreshadow Christ. And we see the festival of the first fruits, that's Pentecost. And we see that in Leviticus 23. Christ's resurrection is the first fruit, so we see the foreshadowing there. The Holy Spirit being poured out on the church on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The first fruits was an eighth day or a first day celebrations, marking that as Christ comes and brings in His resurrection, it's a first day. The Feast of Tabernacles was also a first day and an eighth day rest, very specifically a rest. The year of Jubilee, which was the 50th year, which is the day after the Sabbath year, the year after the Sabbath year. So it's seven Sabbaths and then the year of rest foreshadows the rest we have in Christ. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was also a Sabbath, the day after the Sabbath, which would be a Sunday. So we see that, and again, this is very briefly, I hope you understand that there's a long explanation that goes into these, but we can see there's a foreshadow. The Old Covenant anticipated that the Sabbath day would change with the coming of Christ. Second reason is that the resurrection of Christ obviously occurred on the first day of the week. And then the third reason is by apostolic example. We find in the book of Acts, Acts 20, the breaking of bread, the preaching. 1 Corinthians 16 on collections. All of these things were being done on the first day of the week. And with apostolic authority, you realize that for hundreds and hundreds of years, there was no controversy over this. So, let me just say this. If anything, the day change does not negate the Sabbath principle. If anything, it heightens it. And far from abrogating its observance, it should give new meaning to it. And the necessity should be more clear in the new covenant as we see Christ revealed in these Old Testament festivals, especially with that first day observance. The Christian Sabbath, the Lord's Day, Resurrection Day, all our day of worship, is a very special time. And it has very special meaning for the Christian. And so all the more we need to know, how do we keep this day holy without being lax or without waxing into legalism like the Pharisees did. So since this is the Lord's Day, the Lord determines how to keep it holy. It stands to reason. He sets the ground rules, if you will, for its observance. Just as house guests don't change the construction of the house, so we must not alter the observance of the Lord's Day. It's His day. Unfortunately, many people look at Sunday as though, well, this is my day. It's the day I get to rest. But is that all that is entitled? That is meant in this? How do we observe the day? Look again at the commandment, Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We are to keep the day holy. What does it mean to keep the day holy? Well, the commandment continues. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, your son, your daughter, your young, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. Now remember, Sabbath means rest. And the commandment says that this day is a rest, a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So primarily then, the concept is a day of rest. But that does not mean just stopping work and sleeping the day away. Resting in the Lord in Scripture has a far greater meaning. And so we see that there are both positive and negative aspects to observing the Sabbath day. Things you must do and things you shouldn't do. The idea of keeping something holy in Scripture means to keep it separate. Separate. That's what sanctification, that's what holy means. There is nothing wrong with going about the normal affairs of life every day, the first 6 days. But the Sabbath day is to be a special day. The Sabbath day should look different than the other 6 days. It's not meant to be just another day. It is a holy day to the Lord. And so there are things normal and good that should not be done. Let's look at this in two ways. First, let's look at the things that we are told we shouldn't be doing. And the first one is the normal course of work. Look at verses 9 and 10 of Exodus 20. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath. According to the Scripture, you have 6 days in the week to accomplish everything that you need to accomplish. But on the seventh, the Sabbath, all normal work should cease. And the commandment is given in such a way that all work should cease, even by employees and family members. The commandment is given in unambiguous terms. In other words, I need to rest, so I'm just going to have somebody else do my work for me. This is extremely difficult in our day, isn't it? Sundays have become the major shopping day of the week. Some major sporting events take place on Sundays. Major entertainment takes place on the Sunday. So Sunday has become a major pleasure day of the week. And then with some unions offering double time and a half to work on Sundays, that's kind of hard to resist, isn't it? But the commandment is quite clear and precise. Don't work on the Sabbath, it's a day of rest. And following the creation ordinance, it means the rest is primarily from the normal work. But because the principle of resting is deeper than we might use it, we find other principles involved for the Sabbath rest. Look at Isaiah 58. In Isaiah 58, verse 13, it says, to desist from your own ways. Here's where the commandment really starts to get difficult, doesn't it? It's one thing to stop working. In fact, everyone looks forward to the day off from work. Even days off from work around the house. Right, moms? There's always work to do around the house. You could spend every day working on your house and never have it be done. I know, it seems like I've been working 51 years on my house and it's still not done yet. So taking a day off from yard work or repairs is a pleasant thing to do. We look forward to that day. But the essence of keeping the Sabbath day holy is also to desist from your own ways. That means to stop doing the things that you particularly want to do. And let me add, this is not talking about sinful things. I mean, that's a given. This is speaking about things that are good and lawful things to do. And again, I'm not going to give you any lists because there's a danger of lapsing into some sort of legalism there. Every time that, you know, the pastor gives a list from the pulpit and the next thing you know, it becomes law in the church. That's not good. The commandment is quite clear. That is the day to stop doing your own thing and start doing the things commanded. There is the key. The day is to be kept holy, set apart. The Sabbath day should look differently than the other 6 days of the week. And that's further seen in the next phrase. It says, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with pleasure within limits. God has given us many good things for our pleasure. But the danger is to always to seek your own pleasure. And that's what we lapse into. We want to do what pleases us. Isn't that the case? In fact, how many philosophers have said, you will always do what pleases you. The Sabbath day is not a day to rest from work, to indulge yourself in your own pleasure. It is a day to delight yourself in the Lord. And in order to do that, you must desist from seeking your own particular pleasures. And then it continues, and speaking your own word. God is making it abundantly clear what he expects in his day. Avoid speaking your own words. Again, the principle is the same. The Sabbath is not honored if you stop work, turn from your ways, stop seeking your own pleasure, if your speech continues to be about your own particular interests. And again, these could be things that are very normal, very important. But see, God knows the heart of man. And that's why he has said that the Sabbath was made for man, for our benefits. It's to be a benefit for us, but to give glory to him. And so even your speech needs to be guarded. And things that you can discuss all week long, perhaps there are other things that are more important to be discussing on the Sabbath day. Now, why should you avoid all these activities? I want to give you several reasons. First, simply, because if you are doing these things, you will not be doing the things that you should be doing. You will not be thinking the thoughts you should be thinking. You will not be engaged in the work which is permissible on the Sabbath. And you will not be performing the work which is mandated on the Sabbath. Let me just pause here for a minute. While we are to glorify God in everything that we do, eating and drinking, we're told. So like even the mundane affairs of life, we are told that we are to be glorifying God even in those things. And the closer you get to God, your desires will fall in line with His desires. Okay? But there are certain things that are fine to be doing the rest of the week, which can be put aside so that you can focus solely on glorifying God and advancing His kingdom on the Sabbath day. Special time. Okay? So, that's the first reason. Second reason, Jesus gave us in Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, there's an element of trust involved in observing the Sabbath day. Let me put it to you this way. Do you really believe that if you follow the commandment of Scripture, that you can accomplish everything you need and make all the money you need to support your family on 6 days? Or you say, no, I can't do that. I have to work that seventh day, or I can't pay the bills. See, there's an element of trust. Third, I mentioned earlier that the Sabbath rest is not merely physical rest. Yes, there's an element of that. The Sabbath rest pictures the eternal rest of the saints in Christ. And so it is a rest from the routine of the week, from the mundane affairs of life, from even the good things in life, to focus on the true priorities. For example, and look, the Sabbath rest is a time of renewal in Christ. Let me ask you a question. During the week, when you're busy doing the labor that God has called you to do, that you must do, whatever your occupation is, whether it's housekeeping or doing anything else, aren't there times you say, boy, I wish I didn't have to do this because there's some things I'd like to get done for the Lord? Isn't it time that you feel that way? And you almost feel this, like, why do I have to work? Well, you do because He told you to, but, right? The Sabbath, He tells you, that's the day to do that. Put away all that other stuff and just focus on advancing the kingdom on that particular day. And seeing that's the concept of keeping the day holy, to sanctify it, set it apart from the norm. God has created many good things for us to do all week long. And so during the 6 days, we enjoy them and even delight in those things. But on the Sabbath, we set aside all those things and rest in our Lord. So what then should we be doing on the Sabbath? Well, the first, delight in the Lord. Delight in the Sabbath. That means first and foremost, come to understand the day and the blessings and the benefits of the observance of the Sabbath. If you look at the Sabbath as a burden, you will never delight in it. If you look at it as though it were this law that God has imposed to ruin your week and to ruin your fun, you're not going to delight in the day. That's why I spent last week speaking about the benefits and the blessings of observing the Sabbath. So what can you do to delight in the Sabbath? First, of course, it's a day of worship. A few weeks ago, we looked at what true biblical worship was and what it isn't. And if you are to delight in this day, then you must be able to delight in the worship service. And that doesn't mean making the worship service more pleasing to you, but for you to learn what is the most pleasing to God. And since it is the Lord's Day, it is a day that should be spent learning about Him. That's why we have a Sunday school hour. That's why we have afternoon Bible studies. It's a day that should be used for instruction. When we sit around and gather at the fellowship table, it's a time to discuss the messages and the teaching that you've had. That's all part of that. We've actually structured our whole day here so to make it easy to keep the Sabbath day holy. If you follow everything that we do, we start here about 9 o'clock, and sometimes we don't leave until after 4 o'clock. That aids in keeping the day holy. It's a different day. It means spending a Sunday afternoon with other Christians. That's why the fifth Sunday of the month, we encourage you. We don't have a fellowship here. Go, get into each other's houses. Encourage one another. Delight in one another. engage in Christian one-anothering, as they say. Engage in various ministries, visiting the sick, the infirmed, nursing homes, going out onto the streets of Patchogue to minister the gospel. The Sabbath rest entails a whole lot more than ceasing from work. In fact, it includes certain types of work. For example, works of mercy. Jesus addressed this so often during his ministry. When he was accused of breaking the Sabbath by healing, remember what he said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 10. "And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they questioned him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' In order that they might accuse him. And he said to them, 'What man shall there be among you who shall have one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.'" Works of mercy. Works of mercy are actually required on the Sabbath. Works of mercy should be the natural outworking of our Christian faith. And even Christians who observe the Sabbath can fall into a trap here. Do you view Sunday afternoon as your time to rest, and God forbid if someone disturbs you? If God providentially puts these things in your path on the Sabbath, then they are good works to do. Also, works of necessity. A proper understanding of the Sabbath shows that works of necessity are not only permissible but required on the Sabbath. Preparing meals, caring for the sick, doing all kinds of other things that need to be done, these works must be carried on. If you understand that the Sabbath is not a legalistic ritual, that was the mistake of the Pharisees. But if you understand that, then these are issues that become easy to understand. But also, if you understand the blessings of the Sabbath, then the Sabbath rest is not a burden, but working on the Sabbath seems like a burden to those who must. You know, even these types of work are a pattern after God. Remember, we mentioned that God rested only from his works of creation. And later on in this chapter, verse 17, Jesus says, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." And we saw how God continues his works of providence. You realize that it is necessary for God and Jesus to continue to work. Those are works of necessity. You realize what would happen if God took his hand off of this world right now? Gravity would cease to exist. We'd all be flying out into space. Because he's working to keep this world. He's active in this world every single day. He sustains it. He upholds it. And so just as God continues to works of necessity, so must we. And then, of course, we know that God continues works of mercy. And most prominently, of course, his work of redemption. Aren't you glad that God didn't stop working in redemption? Where would any of us be? God is active saving sinners every day. His Spirit is convincing men of their sin and applying the work of Christ to them. Hearts are being regenerated every day, even on the Sabbath. And what could be more of a delight than seeing a sinner saved on the Lord's day? Well, just a word to all the men when you come to the house on Saturday. Please don't take down any walls. Don't change the design of the house. We like it the way it is. Sounds rather silly, doesn't it? No one would presume to do such a thing. Yet mankind has a habit of doing that with God's holy day. The scripture is very clear. God gave the Sabbath for the benefit of mankind. He patterned it in his created order. He has given us the motivation for keeping it. And men keep saying, "Oh, it's not meant for today. We're under grace, not under law." And they redesign the day to be more pleasing to themselves. If you understand the reasons for the Sabbath commandment, and if you understand the benefits and the blessings that come from the proper observance of the day, that turning from your own pleasure is not some ascetic practice like flogging yourself. But turning from your own pleasure is for the purpose of enjoying the exquisite pleasure of the Lord. Then you will learn to delight in the Sabbath. Failure to observe the Sabbath is like having a banquet set before you of all the most pleasurable and delightful foods you could imagine. And you say, no thanks, I brought a bologna sandwich. How ludicrous is that? If you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you may look at this idea of observing the Sabbath as not having any relevance to you. I would say this. Take a good hard look at what the Scripture says about the Sabbath. It pictures the rest that the believer enjoys when he comes, when he's saved by God. Repent of your sin. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ and enter his rest. Let's pray. Father, we do bow before you. And once again, we thank you and praise you for the blessings you've given to us in your Son. Thank you, Father, for giving us the Sabbath principle. We love this day when we can gather together with your church, when we can worship you, we can offer songs of praise to you. And Father, thank you for the saints you have gathered together here in this church. And we pray, Father, that when we have our fellowship time, that we would be delighting in you as we speak with one another and share with one another. Father, I would pray even now this morning that if there be one here who doesn't know you, that today would be the day of salvation. Give them those hearts of flesh that they might repent of their sin. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.